Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
If you were listening to the programme yesterday afternoon, you'll know that we spoke to Jasmine, and she's a mum of three, and she joined us to tell us her story about the state of the house that she's living in.
So then I have two high needs kids, autism and ADHD, do not go together. We're all cramped in one space. There's no room like sensory space about. Like, we're all on top of each other. And then daughter as well, like, she's not even meeting our milestones.
So it would make a big difference to you day to day, Jasmine, if you had, you know, even just a little bit more space. Doesn't matter where it is, but a bit more space would obviously make a big difference to you.
Yeah, and to safeguard them and to have a garden. Like, my son turned around to me, oh, mommy, I can't wait until we get a new house. And I'm like, oh, one day, son. And any time where he's sitting down and colouring pictures, he's drawing a house and saying, mommy, that's my room. And that's fucking sad. I'm sorry I'm crying, but that's sad. Like, and we're stuck where we are, and it's just absolutely horrendous. Like, and no one's... So I'm just being left here to suffer, like... And I'm absolutely trying my best, but I'm not the only mother out there that's fighting this. And I know there's other families out there. Get up and fight. Advocate. Don't be afraid to speak out. I'm trying my absolute best. I love to go back to work, be a social care worker, but I can't. Because I'm trying to hide these kids that need me right now. And the house is unsustainable.
So that's just some of Jasmine's story that she shared with us here in the programme. Linda's with me on the line today from County Meath. Because Linda, you heard Jasmine's story yesterday afternoon and it's something that very much resonates with you. What's your experience?
Hiya, Andrea. Yeah, I tell you, 10 years ago, I'm housed by the council. At the time, my husband had a series of health issues. He was on disability, I was his carer, and so we were given a house that was perfect for us. Fast forward 10 years and my husband's conditions have progressed severely. His lung disease is now severe. He suffered a mild stroke. He has arthritis in his spine. 6 weeks ago, he was put on home oxygen, and 3 weeks ago, he was in hospital with a heart issue. So his health conditions have progressed quite a bit, and we saw it coming for a long time. So we applied to the council for a transfer, because the house we are in, although it's a bungalow, it is rural, so there's no private transport. We have our own well, which means when the power goes, the water goes, and our garden is nearly half an acre. So as you can imagine, my husband is no longer able to look after the garden.
There's a lot of upkeep to this house, Linda.
It's a lot of upkeep. I have also recently been diagnosed with autoimmune and arthritis in my hand. So between the two of us, we can't manage the house. So for the last, I'd say, 5 years, I've been asking for a transfer. To get a transfer, you have to be on the transfer list, which basically means if a house becomes vacant closer to the town, we could be considered for it. Or we can look for a mutual swap, somebody who wants to swap with us, a council tenant who wants to swap and with us.
So if there's somebody, if there was somebody living in one of the towns that maybe had a large family or young children and maybe needed that extra space, so if they're willing to swap with you, you guys can go ahead and do that.
Yeah, it's no skin off anybody's nose. It's just a, you know, swap, basically. So we applied, and we were refused. Tried again, refused. At the time, we had two people willing to swap with us. So I appealed, told us, no, sorry, you were housed to your needs, which... It's so frustrating because it is 10 years later, everybody's circumstances changes. And my husband's health certainly hasn't got any better. Our needs have changed. Now, we had to get doctor's letters and reports with our application to support the application for the transfer. So I reminded him that actually we were far from housed for our needs, according to the medical experts. Now I am. I applied again recently, and I can't get anyone to speak to me. 3 months ago, I rang and I was told somebody called me back. Nobody called me back. 6 weeks ago, I rang. Same story. Nobody rang me back. Yesterday, I rang yesterday morning, and I was told, "Oh, somebody will ring you in the afternoon." Here we are, almost 24 hours later, and I'm still waiting. So, like, and like I said, my health is not the best either, and I am my husband's carer. We have two young children. If I'm not fit and healthy, then I am no good to anyone in my family. You know, and it's so, so difficult where we are. It's just, it's like nobody cares. You know, we're not being listened to. And it's like my heart broke for that lady yesterday and her children with high needs. My husband has needs as well. And we're being ignored. We have, my husband, we're living in a bungalow, which is fine. But despite living in a bungalow, he still can't sleep in this bedroom. And for the past year, he's been sleeping on the recliner because there's no room in this room for his equipment. He suffers with blackouts. That's a new MDIT thing as well. And every day he's got out of bed a couple of nights and he has slipped, like blacked out, and he's banged his head off the wall because there's so little room between the bed and the wall. So it's actually not safe for him.
When you say, sorry, Linda, with his equipment, is it like what kind of equipment, like an oxygen tank or something, is it?
He has a compressor and he has an oxygen tank. He has a CPAP machine.
Okay.
So he has a bar on the side of the bed. Like it takes up a lot of room.
Yeah.
And if he needed to get up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet, he'd have to move all of that out just to get up. And that takes his energy. So it's a vicious circle, you know. And this house, we are forever having problems with heating. Every single problem we've ever had has been the heating. There was one winter we were left constantly with no heating, and my husband ended up in hospital twice with pneumonia. And as anyone with lung disease knows, when you are in hospital with pneumonia, you come out and your lungs are worse off than before you had the pneumonia. So he's getting progressively worse. Every time the electricity goes in this house, which happens quite a lot, we have no water because it's a private well. There was one year we were left for 3 months with dirty water because nobody was coming out to clean the filter in the pump, despite many phone calls and emails. And I have all of those emails. So it's really, we really are on our own in this country when we want, you know, help. And it's not like we're asking to be moved because we just fancy a change. You know, we have serious reasons and valid reasons. Yeah. Needing to move.
And you recognise, as you said, that the house is actually, you know, too big and would likely be more beneficial to, you know, maybe a different family that perhaps needs more space. Well, you're looking for something smaller.
Well, no, the house itself is tiny. The garden is massive. The house is like a little dot in the middle of a massive field. Do you know what I mean? It's very small, the house is. But the house, the garden, is
huge.
Unmanageable. I mean, can you imagine half an acre of a garden with an oxygen tank on your back, a lawnmower, and I get the lawnmower out and I have arthritis in my hands and it hurts to do it. And that's half an acre of ground. Do you know what I mean? When we moved in first, it was fine.
Mm.
We were able to manage up. But 10 years later and
things have changed.
Things are naturally progressing.
So you say, Linda, that when you contact your local authority, they've told you previously that they're going to respond back to you, but you say you've really heard nothing back.
I've heard, all I keep being told is, oh, somebody will ring you, and they never do.
Well, look, we'll reach out to the county council. We'll reach out to the local authority and see if we can get a response for you, Linda, today. Can I ask you a little bit about your husband? So he's actually sleeping, as you say, in a recliner. Is that in the sitting room or something? Is it in the kitchen?
Yeah, my husband, just so everyone knows, was always a very, very active man. He ran his own gardening business. He loved gardening. And he was always working nonstop. And when he took the mild stroke and he had a mild heart attack as well, he had to stop. He was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and arthritis in the spine, spondylitis. And he was diagnosed with COPD. So he has a whole heap of issues, medical issues. But he's always tried his best. Always, you know, tried to see the best side in everything. But it's hard. And even, like, he broke his leg in the garden when he was trying to to do the gardening work there a few years back, and he fell and broke his leg trying to do it. He fell another time, blacked out, and was end up concussed in hospital because he hit his head off the path. But he's never let his conditions stop him. But unfortunately now they're with his conditions are winning. And all we're looking for is help. He hates having to ask for help. He really does. But unfortunately, we have to.
Look, we'll reach out to the County Council, Linda, on your behalf and see. I mean, I think I can't promise that'll amount to anything, but yeah. we can certainly, I'm happy to reach out to them and contact them and ask them if there is any update. Or even, as you said, to find out why, you know, if you've previously had two people who were also, you know, living in social housing and were willing to transfer property with you, as to why that hasn't happened. You have your own conditions yourself as well, your own ailments. You're keeping okay, Linda, you are?
I am. I'm okay. It's fairly recent, fairly new. I mean, the autoimmune is lupus, and I have osteo in my hands. So I'd be in a lot of pain. The energy levels are not great. They're really not. And it hurts when I'm, you know, if I have to do the lawnmower, even driving the car and using the gear stick hurts me. And we have to have a car on the road. A car is not a luxury for us. We have to have
us.
So if we could move closer to the town, it would make life so much easier because I could walk everywhere. I could, you know, I wouldn't have to put myself through that. We'd have a smaller garden. We could manage. We could cope. We'd be near the public transport. And it would just be so much easier. But
you mind yourself, Linda, and take care of yourself. And thanks for getting in touch with us yesterday. I know you heard Jasmine on the programme and you got in touch to share your own story with us. And we appreciate that. And if we've any update or any response, we'll certainly get back in touch with you.
I will indeed. And thanks a million, Andrea. I appreciate that.
No problem at all. No problem, Linda, and lovely to chat to you today. Meath County Council have got back in touch with us because we did ask them, for a response to Linda's situation today, and they tell us that they don't comment on the personal circumstances or housing applications of individual tenants, but in general, transfers of social housing tenancies are considered in line with relevant housing legislation. Each application is assessed, taking into account the circumstances presented, supporting documentation provided, the housing need and the availability of suitable housing stock. That Meath County Council engages with tenants who contact the housing department and endeavours to respond to all correspondence as quickly as possible. If you find yourself in a similar position to Linda or to Jasmine, who shared her story with us yesterday, if you want to share your own experience with us on the programme, drop us an email over the next 24 hours. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.